Let's put our hands together for Dr. Mensa Otterville.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Please be seated. What an insightful presentation we just received. We're doing awesome things for the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is ruling in our time, in our generation. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you so much for what you shared. And we thank God for that. Pastor Poju, you are the man. You're the man. I like your trousers. I like your style. Amen. Well, I'm going to go straight into my message. And yesterday we talked about the revelation of the kingdom, and this is part two of it. And we made the case that the kingdom of God is revealed in Christ in a progressive sense. It starts from Adam in Eden, and it goes through to Abraham, who has an encounter with God, builds altars, but then it progresses to Moses, who received definite instructions in the law, and builds a nation, Israel. And finally culminates in Jesus Christ. The kingdom is not just a place, it's not just an experience, it is not a people necessarily. The kingdom is a person, and his name is Jesus. In Christ Jesus, the kingdom of God comes to us. He inaugurates the kingdom through his life, through his teachings, through his miracles, his sufferings, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. So I'm going to talk briefly about one of the parables of Jesus to tell us about how the kingdom functions. Matthew chapter 13, it's a very tiny parable of Jesus. It's a few words, but it carries a lot of weight. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. And it says, another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till it was all leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like. Now, he didn't say the kingdom of heaven is leaven, but it is like. So that's a parable. It's an analogy. It's a comparison between what leaven is and how it mimics the work of the kingdom of God. Usually when you read the Bible, leaven is used to depict the nature of sin. So leaven doesn't have a positive image in the scriptures. Right from the Passover and later even in the New Testament, leaven is used for sin. But Jesus twists the usage of leaven and uses it to describe the kingdom of God. So he flips something that we think is negative and turns it around for the kingdom. Very similar to what our previous speaker was talking about. He goes and flips a principle that people are using outside of the church, but he now uses for the kingdom. And Jesus is flipping leaven from a negative view to a positive one. And what is leaven? Leaven is basically fermented dough that is used to raise other dough. And leaven has the ability to be used and reused over and over and over again. Because usually what happens is Leaven is applied to dough. And when it's applied to dough, it affects the whole dough. And then part of what it has created is taken out and used for the next dough, and for the next dough, and for the next dough. And so leaven can be reused for years. In fact, there are bakeries in the world today that are using leaven that have been in existence for 200 years. Some are using leaven in China, leaven that has been in use for over 700 years. Not too long ago, a group of scientists activated leaven that was used in ancient Egypt 4,500 years ago, and is still being used now to bake bread. So leaven is a very powerful thing. It continues its effect for a very, very long time. And it's instructive that Jesus uses it to describe the power of the kingdom of God. Although leaven is applied in small quantities, its influence thoroughly pervades a thing. Now, I want you to look at the verse, and there are eight things I want to point out from the verse. First, he says the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took, hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. The first thing to note is the woman. And the men can also include themselves. But the woman there is a person who uses the leaven. The woman is a person God is using. If God is going to change the systems of this world, it's going to start with an individual, with a man, with a woman. So that's where it starts from. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman. Secondly, leaven represents the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. The power of the kingdom of heaven. The power of Christ in our lives. The third thing is, it says that the woman took the leaven. She took ownership. Until people realize what they have and take ownership of them, it may reside in them but be ineffective outside of them. So here is a woman who has leaven and takes it, possesses it, has a sense of responsibility, a sense of realization. The fourth thing that the passage says is that she takes it and she hides it. That is, she plants it, she infuses it. She engages it. We cannot take the kingdom to ourselves without engaging it. And the fifth thing, he engages it, or she engages it, in a meal. And the meal talks about a system, an ongoing system. And the meal is bigger than the leaven. The meal is three measures. The leaven is very tiny. But the woman engages this tiny thing within a big system. The meal. The sixth thing, and it says till. Till is talking about a continuous process. Leaven doesn't work instantly. Leaven works in a process. And then the seventh thing, it says all. Till all. All is talking about complete takeover. Complete takeover. And the end is leavened. So it starts with leaven in a small system that takes over a system, and the entire system now becomes everything leaven. So a system, a small thing, enters a thing and makes the big thing like the small thing that entered into it. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who takes leaven, hides it in a meal, till all of the meal also becomes leaven. That is the power of influence and transformation. That is how the kingdom of God progresses. It progresses by taking that which is of Christ and engaging it with the world. And that has been God's process. Now, if you look through the Bible, you will realize that almost everything that God does starts little. almost everything that God does starts little. From creation, God envisaged that there will be, at this time, 8 billion people on the earth. He could have created a good percentage of 8 billion people, maybe 800 people or 8,000 people or 8 million people. God has the power to create 8 million people at the same time. He creates one. Doesn't even do, and out of the one, takes a second one. And then they have a child, and then they have a child, and one of the children is killed. If you look at the progressing, it's a very slow process, but it is living. It starts very small, it's going to swell, and it's going to take over. It's God's process of redemption. He starts with Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, 8 people to repopulate the earth. Abraham, one man, struggles with childbirth for years and for years, and his wife struggles with childbirth, but out of that one man, a nation and nations are born. And on and on and on. God starts with the tiny in order to create the huge. And it ends in Jesus Christ. One man who never married, never had children, but took over the world. And it's how the church has operated for over 2,000 years. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It's very easy to believe in big things when they are big. But in the kingdom, we believe in small things before they become big. The kingdom of heaven transforms from within, not from outside. It grows and it takes over, and it continues to live on from generation to generation. Begins very small. And for us Christians, it begins with Jesus Christ, the incarnation, when God becomes man. God introduces leaven. It starts in the womb of a virgin called Mary, and grows in the womb of a virgin called Mary, and is born. And is born not in the king's palace or in the greatest place. Is born in a manger in the town of Bethlehem, which is in Roman-controlled Judea. You have to understand that if you are God Almighty, and you want to change the world, and you want to introduce yourself to the world, where would you introduce yourself? Most likely, you will introduce yourself through the palace of the king, or the emperor, or some prestigious person. But God introduces himself in Judea, which is under Roman occupation, and in a tiny town called Bethlehem, which has just a few houses. And in that place, with a carpenter and his wife, and out of there produces a child. And that child, whom we now call Jesus, is born in a manger. What a ridiculous way to introduce yourself to the world. But that's God. The baby is born. For 30 years of his life, he is unseen, unheard, unmanifested. We just hear of him once asking questions, but nothing great really happens with him. He starts his ministry not in the capital city, but in the backwaters of Galilee. But he's yeast. He is leaven. And he picks a group of disciples from amongst fishermen and discarded people in society like tax collectors. He labors continuously in ministry for 3 years. And by the 3 years, when he's just on the crest of gaining national popularity, he enters Jerusalem. Everybody hails him. Finally, the guy has arrived. This is his big introduction. That week, he's killed. And then he resurrects the third day.
But he doesn't go to the market square to say, here I am, I resurrected. He could have done that. He could have stood in the cities. He could have gone back to Mount Calvary and said, they crucified me here, and here am I standing. He doesn't do that. He goes back to meet his disciples in Galilee, and he stays with them after resurrection with a few people for 40 days. And after 40 days, right before them, he ascends to heaven. He tells them, go and wait in Jerusalem, I will leaven you too. And so on the day of Pentecost, the leaven, who is Christ, now leavens 120 people. The system is growing. The system is growing. It's a slow process. It's not a quick miracle, but the system is growing. The kingdom is growing from one man, Jesus, now in 120 people on the day of Pentecost. And that day, Peter preaches, and the leaven moves from one man to 120 to 3,000 people. He's about to leaven the whole world. And it grows from Jerusalem. He says, you're going to do it from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the world. That's how my kingdom grows. I don't start with the uttermost parts of the world. I start with a man and a group, and expands it to a town and to a village, and on and on and on it grows. And this small process that started in a virgin's womb in Bethlehem in 300 years took over the world's superpower. 300 years took over the world. The emperor of the world at that time gets converted. A nation that used to kill the Christians accepts Christianity. And onwards after that, Christianity grows all over the world. Today, even here in Nigeria, this yeast that started in Bethlehem has touched us. It took people like Samuel Ajayi Crowther and Mary Slessor to bring the yeast to this country. And when they did, a country or a people steeped in idolatry who had never heard the name Jesus before, never knew there is a guy called Abraham, never know of Moses, never know anything about the Old Testament, don't know Peter, don't know Paul, all they saw is a couple of missionaries. And the yeast that was planted here grows in this place. And look at what is happening in Nigeria. Today in Nigeria, church services can be held, and there will be hundreds of thousands of people sitting in one meeting. How did it get there? A man, a woman here, a man and a woman here, with the yeast of the gospel planted in the womb of a nation which has never heard the gospel. But the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who takes yeast, hides it in the meal called Nigeria. And before then, it takes over the whole nation. And then that yeast does not end in Nigeria. It continues growing. The old Christian hymn says, from victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Years ago, one of the places we never thought Christianity would thrive was in a country which is preparing to be a major superpower, China. They banned Christianity. They said the church cannot grow. The church is an illegal body. And yet, in house groups, in little homes, the yeast of the kingdom was being planted. Wherever the yeast is planted, listen, it may be China, it may be America, it may be Europe, it may be Nigeria. But when the yeast of the kingdom is planted by a woman who understands what the yeast is, the system cannot overcome it. Today, it is expected that in a couple of decades,
China will have the largest Christian population in the entire world. Where it was shut up, it is going to take over. There are almost 300 million Chinese Christians, and still Christianity is underground. But the yeast hidden will raise the meal. Today in nations like Iran, we are seeing massive conversions of people to Christianity. Without bombs, without fight, in a place where it almost seems impossible to be a Christian, massive numbers are becoming Christians. In fact, today in most Arab countries, according to the estimates, they're having major Christian incursion. It is now said that most people from Muslim countries, Arab countries who go to Europe and to America, 25% of the young people turn to Christ Jesus. There's a massive rate of conversion. Why? Because Jesus says, this kingdom, which is me, it's not even just a message, it's a person, is the creator in the universe, packaged as a human being. He is the yeast, and wherever he is hidden, he will take over the system. 20 years ago, Christianity was being battered by a new atheist. If you follow public discussions, people like Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, they took over the world, the God delusion, and all of that, and just started in academia and talking about godlessness, and they were on fire. And it seemed as if Christianity has been wiped out all over academic world. Woke ideas ruled in the academic world. But today, woke ideas have collapsed. The new atheism has collapsed because God raised simple people like John Lennox and William Lane Craig. And these people started just talking back and planting the yeast back into the system, back into academia, back into universities, planting the seed of Christ. And all of a sudden, now it is being said, young people in America, young people in the universities beginning to turn to Jesus Christ. Europe is having a great resurgence of Christianity. In London, young people are going back to church because this yeast that is hidden, even if it is dormant, one day a woman will find it and plant it into the meal. And when we plant it, no system can resist the true Jesus Christ. Young people, listen, are looking for the authentic Christ. And that's why I'm passionate that the church in Africa must not exchange the yeast for Play-Doh. We must not exchange the yeast for clay. We must not exchange it. We cannot have a Christianity that takes away from Jesus and puts what is on Jesus on a man of God. We cannot treat preachers like Jesus. We cannot build personality cults. We cannot put our faith in human beings. No matter how much a man of God is used, he is just a man. Jesus is the Lord. And if we ever find Christianity, if we ever practice Christianity where Jesus is just a name we use to end our prayer, but Jesus is not in our heart, he's not our affection, he's not our desire, our faith is in somebody else, somebody's grace, somebody's anointing, somebody's laying on of hands. If we do that, we are not planting the yeast, we are planting Play-Doh, we are planting clay, and clay will not transform. Only the yeast will transform. Only Jesus of the kingdom will transform. We have to fix our eyes, our hearts, our affections, our desires back to Jesus. I believe in what God is doing with men of God. But we must prevent people from worshiping us. Because the African is liable to worship anything. We'll worship a tree, we'll worship a stone, we'll worship a river, we'll worship a white man, we'll worship somebody because we can't tell. We worship anything. We worship fowls, we worship crocodiles, we worship lions. And so worship is so easy for us, and we tend to place it in the wrong place. And when sometimes people see a man greatly used by God, they don't know whom to give the worship to, whether to give it to the person or to give it to God. We must resist the worship of the people, and we must be careful not to build personality cults. That is why, personally, there are certain testimonies that I would never share. I would never share. If somebody tells me, I put your picture on my wall and I received a miracle, I would never share that miracle because it doesn't glorify Jesus. It doesn't glorify Jesus. We have to know the yeast is not us. The yeast is not even our message. The yeast is not our church. The yeast is not our ministry. The yeast is Jesus Christ. It's not Abraham. It's not Moses. It's not David. It's not Adam. It's not Kenneth Hagin. The yeast is Jesus. It's not Martin Luther. It's not John Calvin. The yeast is Jesus. It's not Saint Augustine. It's not Thomas Aquinas. The yeast is Jesus. He is the one we take. He is the one we hide. He is the one we preach. He is the one we put into the meal. If we do that, Nigeria will be transformed. There will be social transformation. That is what happened when Christ infused the pagan culture of Europe. It transformed Europe. It transformed Rome. Transformed Greece. It transformed the Scandinavian countries of the Vikings and all these very violent people. It transformed Britannia because the yeast was hidden. If we make ourselves the yeast, we can be in a system, but there will be no transformation. So I came here to remind you, when we say, thy kingdom come, it is not my kingdom come. It is not our kingdom come. It is not our church's ministry kingdom come. It is thy kingdom come, for thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. You know, sometimes I refuse even to lay hands on people, because, you know, sometimes people can approach you with a certain kind of expectation and faith, and you just know their faith is wrongly placed. And I just feel like Jesus is saying, go your way. It is done. Because instead of God, they think you carry something. Yes, I carry something, but what I carry is not me. What I carry is the yeast. I'm a woman who takes the yeast. And when you plant it in the world and in people's hearts, there is transformation. May his kingdom come. May his glory be seen. May we keep our eyes on him, Jesus. May we keep our affections on him. How do we know? By spending time with him. By reading the words of Jesus. Read the Bible. But more than read the Bible, read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read the epistles that talk about Jesus and his work. Stay there. Stay in Romans. Stay in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Stay in Ephesians. Stay in Philippians.
Stay in Colossians. Stay in 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. Stay there and read about Jesus, who he is and what he has done for us. And the magnitude of his being. He is I am. He is eternal. He is God. He's not just a Jewish carpenter. He's God who took on the clothing of a Jewish carpenter, but he is God. And when we trust him and preach him and hide him and invest him in our businesses, in our world, in our nations, then what he says in this parable in Matthew 13, 33 will happen. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who takes leaven and hides it in 3 measures of meal till it is all leavened. May we get to the point where we say Nigeria is all leavened. Our church is all leavened. Our world is all leavened. The Middle East is all leavened. Russia is all leaven. India is all leaven. Because this kingdom is the most potent force in our world. It is more potent than atomic bombs. And when it goes into any system, it is irresistible. For a moment, it may be dormant, but it will be activated. And may the Lord cause each one of us to be that woman who takes Jesus Christ the leaven and plant him wherever we are. Speak Jesus, honor Jesus, uplift Jesus, worship Jesus, speak his words. Just let Jesus be Jesus. Let Jesus rule. Let Jesus rule in the church. Let Jesus rule in our community. And when we do, our continent will experience a transformation such as has never happened before, such as no politician is able to give us, because this kingdom holds the answer to our world. We pray, Heavenly Father, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom, O God, come. Not our kingdom, not my kingdom, not my thoughts, but your kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come in our hearts. Your kingdom come and live in our whole lives. Your kingdom come and live in our whole families. Your kingdom come and live in our communities. Your kingdom come and live in our churches. Your kingdom come and live in our whole nation. Your kingdom come and live in our whole continent. Your kingdom come and live in our whole world. May the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.